What's good, locals? Welcome back to The Local Podcast. This is episode 47 of The Local Podcast, the podcast where we talk about video games, mainly as our main topic, movies, TV shows, anything that happens in our life, anime, all that good stuff, on rare occasions, anything that pretty much interests us. But you have me, Carlos Perez, and my co-host,
Miguel Vasquez.
Yep, the one and only, my friend since, what, 7th grade, 8th grade?
Yeah, pretty much, since middle school. Up to yep. High school to now.
Yeah, dude. And we got a pretty good episode today. Pretty much like it's been this past couple episodes, that we're going to mainly focus on one topic, and that's pretty much the Game Awards. They showed off their nominees, and we're going to choose our decisions, try to base which ones are going to win, which one's going to take it. And yeah, we'll get more into that after our reoccurring conversations. Mike, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Mostly been doing the usual, you know, design stuff. Right now, I'm currently working on a human Lego woman, or person, I should say. I feel like that one would intrigue a lot of people. That I feel like that would like get like attention in a way, because from the way I made this character, this Lego person, well, human Lego person, I copied the exact same, like, you know, Lego dimensions, like the head and stuff like that, and, you know, implemented that in like in a like organic human way. So it looks pretty creepy, you know. I think I've showed you like a screenshot of it. So that's what I've been working on now. Hopefully I get to finish that like within this week, you know. I know I can finish it really quick. So I've been working on that one. Also been playing a lot of God of War on the PS5. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, that game's fucking awesome. In some way, I do regret not playing it day one on the base PS4, but I'm also glad that I didn't, because like I'm playing it at like 60 frames per second. There's no lag, no issues. It's just, I just feel like I did the right thing to wait to play that game. And so far I'm enjoying it. Honestly, it exceeded my expectations. Like, I've heard a lot of hype about it. I was like, I already knew the game was going to be badass, but damn, this shit is so cool, dude. The combat, it's like so smooth. I already got the hang of it. So that's pretty good. That's what makes it quite addicting in a way. But and of course we had that for our very first PS5 screen share, where we played Astrobot, and you were watching me play God of War. I was watching you play Miles Morales Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool to test out what the PS5 was capable of doing. Nothing else, honestly. Like, been watching like a lot of Toy Story. I re-downloaded Disney Plus, so I've been watching all the Toy Story movies, just because like those movies are pretty much like a huge part of my childhood. But other than that, it's been an okay week, you know. But what about you?
Nice. Nothing much. Been working on the bathroom. I went to go help my aunt do her bathroom. Been cleaning my room, working on the kitchen, and nothing really interesting outside my ordinary life, but like just going to video games. So I beat Spider-Man, Miles Morales. I got the platinum for Astro's Playroom, which is tight because you're there watching me and like see me get the platinum, you know?
Yeah.
During,
yeah,
like the last mission and everything. So that was awesome. We utilized the live stream within the PlayStation 5 chat. So pretty much, if you don't know, like it's kind of like Discord, if you're familiar with Discord. In Discord, you could be in a voice chat and you can live stream your screen. But also on the PS5, you could pretty much do the same exact thing without going on Twitch or anything. Whoever's in your party could watch your live stream within the chat room. So that was really cool. So Mike was playing God of War and he was kind of lost. And then he was like, yeah, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. So I was pretty much just watching his screen, watching him play from home on my TV while I'm playing Astro's Playroom. At the same exact time, just watching him go through it. And I was just telling him like, oh, dude, go through there. And then you should be able to climb up that wall. And he was like, oh, yeah, you're right. And then so that was pretty cool. So for sure, I could see when more people get their hands on the PS5, I could see them utilizing it like that and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a fantastic feature. I thought it was awesome right off the bat. At first, it was kind of lagging, like probably like the first 15 seconds, no joke. But after that, it caught up to speed. I was watching him like literally 100% accurately. It was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. I just been playing Astro's. I platinum Astro's Playroom, got the finished Miles Morales, and I'm thinking of doing, since we did that unboxing video, I'm honestly, I don't know if I'll do it, but maybe do a review of Miles Morales and upload it to the channel too. I thought that'd be pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say something about God of War. Oh yeah, that's what I was going to say. So I booted up God of War to see how it would run. And apparently, I don't know if I'm dreaming this or maybe they changed it. Because I remember Santa Monica Studios tweeting out saying that God of War will run 4K 60 frames per second the day of PS5. And I cannot find that tweet for the life of me. Like, to save my life, to back up that I wasn't lying that I saw that tweet, you know? So apparently, at least from what I saw, like on Google, looking everything up, I guess they took that tweet down because of the announcement for God of War Ragnarok that they might do the same thing Miles Morales did. They might bundle it in, like God of War Ragnarok Ultimate Edition. And it comes with a God of War remastered 60 frames per second, 4K ray tracing. That's the plan, and that's why they did that. Like, that's why they didn't update it.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's understandable, but like, to come out and say that it was going to come out 4K 60 frames day of PlayStation 5 and then just taking that away from us is like, what the hell?
That is fucking selfish, greedy. Wow.
Yeah. So like, once you told me when you were playing God of War 60 frames 1080p, I was like, what? No, like there was supposed to be an update for this, you know? And I was like looking it up. And I guess a lot of sources are saying, yeah, if you want to play God of War 4K 60 frames per second, do not download the update. The only way you're going to be able to play 4K 60 frames per second is through the physical copy, and do not download the update for it. So it sucks because I would want to play like that. And I did. So I didn't download the update. I didn't install it. But that means I don't have New Game Plus. I don't have any of the new armor facts that are in it, because if you want to update the game, you have to get the latest version. And I can't just choose the version of update I want. So I just didn't download the update, and I booted it, and damn, it looks great in 4K 60 frames. But
fuck out of here, really?
Yeah, dude, it looks awesome. But it sucks because every single time I want to play, I can't let that update install. So I would have to literally play the game right now, start to finish, without having any of the bugs fixed, because there's some bugs that were in there when it first launched. So I'm gonna have those bugs definitely. I don't get the day one patch either, and I would never have to connect my PlayStation 5 to the internet until I'm done playing it.
That's fucking wow. So is there any way for me to like de-update, you know, like downgrade, you know?
No, there's no, at least from what I was looking at, there's no way to do it. The only way to do it is with the physical version. And my assumption that I was saying about God of War Ragnarok Ultimate Edition isn't a fact, it's just theory that they might go the route like Miles Morales did with a remaster of Spider-Man, you know?
Dude, if that's true, like, because that makes sense. Honestly, Ragnarok's supposed to come out supposedly next year, you know, 2021. Yeah. If that's the case, that's just dumb, dude. Honestly, that makes sense, because I did read an article about how like the physical disc on the PS5 allows you to play it like at 60 frames 4K, but you just had to do like a workaround, you know, you had to like do some stuff. But other than that, if I see it that way, honestly, like I feel like that's what they're gonna do. They're gonna offer ray tracing, 4K, 60 frames per second for an extra buck, you know?
Yeah, like if anything, if that was true, like why not just come out and say it already? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like I said, I believe I saw the tweet of them saying God of War will be 4K, 60 frames per second day one PS5. You know, maybe. They're going to come out with an update for that later through the year, you know? But if if the rumors are true or the theories of God of War Ragnarok Ultimate Edition comes with God of War 1 and it's going to have 4K 60 frames and ray tracing, like, I feel like now is the time to say it just so we're not waiting. Because if anything, I would rather wait and get the Ultimate Edition of Ragnarok so I don't play it a third time, which doesn't mean I wouldn't be glad to, you know what I mean? But like, I could wait out another year to play the first part of the sequel of Ragnarok, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I would, like I said, I would rather wait. Like, even right now, like, Miles Morales takes 2 full story run-throughs to platinum it, and I told myself, you know what? I'm a beat Spider-Man Remastered, like, story start from finish of the story, and then I'll go back and finish Miles Morales Platinum, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, because that's what I was planning to do. I wanted to get the Platinum for God of War. So, if that's the case, I would want to save my time of grinding all that on them trophies and stuff on the remastered than the generic version, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I played Spider-Man, I started Miles Morales. I only played through it in, what was it called? Fidelity mode instead of performance mode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where it has ray tracing and the 4K. So I was like, damn, this looks nice. And once I turned on performance mode, oh my God, it was such a game changer. You notice it so much. Even in videos, comparison videos, you could see it in the video, but it's nothing like playing it up person. It is so, it feels and looks so damn good. Like, you know that this is how games are meant to be played 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't even imagine the day it becomes a standard. Yeah, PC has always had that kind of, I would say, as a standard if you have a high-end build, but like, for a console, like, this becoming a standard for console players is going to be game-changing for them.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I was kind of iffy. That's why I was talking about the God of War thing for a little bit. So I was like, yeah, I just wanted to mention that. I didn't play much. I literally only did the intro where Kratos takes Atreus to burn his mom. So, yeah, that was pretty much it. That's as much as I played, but you could definitely notice that it is in 60 frames and in 4K.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, honestly, I don't know. I mean, the update's already installed into it. The only way to get rid of it is if I delete the whole game and then reinstall it with the disc. And that's such a hassle. I'm not going to do that every single time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I did God of War in the beginning a little bit, but that was it. I downloaded some other games. I downloaded Uncharted. Haven't started it though, but I've been playing more Demon's Souls. I got a little bit farther and I finally played Demon's Souls on my TV. And oh my God, Demon's Souls looks so good. You have to come over and look at it one day.
For sure.
It looks really good.
Well, you're playing it from your on your PC, right?
Yeah, I was always playing it on my PC. But yeah, I finally, because when I play on my PC, I have like my friend Matt. He's like a Demon's Souls expert. He knows everything right off the bat. Like, he'll tell me like, I'll be like, oh, should I go get that item over there? And he'd be like, nah, don't waste your time. That item's useless. Like, he knows it, like, front and back. So he's pretty much my guide going through the game. So that's pretty awesome. So I stream it to the Discord chat, and he just watches me play and gives me tips and stuff. But I finally started on my TV just by myself. And man, dude, it looks so good compared to my monitor. But, like, nonetheless, like, the HDR, the OLED, the colors, damn, dude, it looks fantastic. Like, I do have like a, like, not bragging, but like, I have a high end TV, and you could definitely notice the difference, you know, compared from OLED to like a generic, a 4K HDR TV, especially color wise, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looks really good. I can't wait to keep going on that.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I can't think of anything else I've been playing. Besides my PlayStation, I have not turned on my PlayStation 4 at all. I might turn it on once to transfer some save files to my online membership. But yeah, I think after I do that, I think either I give it the boot and just have it there for display, or I move it to my back TV, the second TV I have in my room, and plug it in there and use it for like a streaming service or whatever's. Or if I want to catch up on my PlayStation backlog, like, I would play my PS4 games over there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Play in bed, whatever's. True. But other than that, I got a new headset today. I was telling you like a little story of what was going on. So, so yeah, I got a new headset because I have the Logitech Wired Pro G, I believe. Wired Pro G that I use for traveling when I travel for work and we record the podcast like that with that headset because it has like a blue microphone on the headset. Mm-hmm. And so the wired version I love. And when I redid my PC setup, I built my own desk and everything, put a new case and I cleaned up the desk. I got a new microphone. I really did an upgrade on it. And I was like, I don't like the cord being around me. You know what? I think I'm gonna upgrade to a wireless headset. And I found out that wired headset became wireless like within that same month. I was like, oh, wow. Okay, cool. I love the wired version. Let me get the wireless version. For some weird reason, dude, it's the same headset, same mic quality, same headphone quality, everything. It's just wireless, okay? Mm-hmm. For some weird reason, dude, it hurts my head. like the part where the headband rests on the top of your head, like yeah. That part hurts right there in that area. The mm-hmm. earmuffs are too tight. I don't like the way they feel on my head. It gives me lockjaw. And it's weird because I stretched them out pretty good. I would get like my Kirby plushie, the ones that you see at Best Buy, if anyone's seen them before. But it's a pretty big Kirby. I put it on him, so he's wearing them, so he could stretch them out for me, like get them worn out. Mm-hmm. And they're still really tight. And it's so weird because I never had to do this with the wired version. Like, I don't know. It was weird. So I was like, you know what? I have like a day left to return this headset, get my full money back. And then I'll get a different headset. Mm-hmm. So Best Buy didn't have the headset I was looking for, unfortunately. But yeah, so I went to GameStop across the street and I asked them, oh, do you have the... I upgraded to the SteelSeries Arctis 7P, the PlayStation 5 newly released one, the white and blue ones. And Best Buy didn't have them online. Amazon said they couldn't deliver it until like late middle December. Best Buy said I wouldn't get them till next week. And when I returned the headset, I completely forgot. Oh shit. I do not have another headset for the podcast. How am I supposed to listen to Mike when I'm recording, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, damn, I need to find a headset like today. So I went to GameStop down the street to see if they had any and they didn't have any. And he said that the closest one is in Glendora. So I was like, oh shit. All right. And after everything, no joke, when I returned my headset to Best Buy, she asked me, hey, do you want to return it to your card or do you want to return it to store credit? And I was like, oh, I'll just do store credit because like I could probably find a Best Buy near me right now. And they didn't. I was like, crap. So I tried looking for Best Buy for GameStop gift cards. And I was like, oh, crap, they don't have it. So I went to Best Buy, went to GameStop. He referred me to the nearest GameStop that had them in stock. I went back to that Best Buy to look for a GameStop gift card. They did not have any GameStop gift cards. So I left to the GameStop area in Glendora. And I was like, maybe the other Best Buy near there has GameStop gift cards. So I could use the Best Buy gift card to get a GameStop gift card to pay for my headset, you know? Mm-hmm. I went to the Best Buy over there. They did not have it. And I was like, crap, I'm going to have to use my real money instead of getting the gift card sorted out or something. And yeah, it was just a whole mess. But in the end, I got the headset and this like right off the bat, usually with headsets, some headsets, I can't wear them right off the bat. But man, this SteelSeries headset is fantastic so far. I've only been wearing it for like an hour, honestly. Like right off the bat, I didn't have to adjust anything, adjust the earmuffs to raise them high or low, adjust the Velcro strap, nothing. Everything feels perfectly fine. It feels bomb. Mm-hmm. Like even to right now, like how we're talking, like I'm like using the headset right now, obviously not using the headset mic because I have my own mic. But mm-hmm. overall, I'm loving this headset. I love the way it looks. The white and blue is really clean. It matches the PlayStation 5 scheme perfectly. And yeah, I couldn't. I'm really hyped on this purchase.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. And it was $50 cheaper than the original Logitech wireless headset. I think that was like, I paid like $200 for.
Damn.
And this one was $150. And for sure, noticed like no matter the price difference, this headset wins in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely don't believe because you're paying more, you're getting better. Like that is not the case at all.
Yeah. It's like Dre Beats, you know? You remember when people would buy it?
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, that was my crazy day. I spent like 2 hours looking for the headset and getting all this stuff sorted out because of lines, going back and forth to Best Buy, looking for GameStops. And yeah, luckily I only had to go to 2 GameStops and 2 Best Buys, but just traveling back and forth because of traffic was a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I left my house like at 5 and got back at like maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Mm.
But
yeah, like 2 hours, right?
Yeah. Other than that, I think the most exciting news that happened to me this week, though, was that PlayStation 5's went back on sale on GameStop. They had bundles up last night, actually, as we were recording this Monday night, November 23rd. So my buddy was trying to get a PS5, and I told him, oh, dude, I help you, but right now you're like in the back of the line to be helped with. So I have another friend I'm helping right now, but like he says he doesn't want this bundle, so if he can't pay me for it, then I'll just shoot it to you. And he was like, oh, all right, for sure. And we're trying, talking to my friend Andres. You know Andres, right? Doobie Dre?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking to each other. We're texting. We're trying to get this GameStop bundle. It's not working, dude. They go on sale at 7 p.m. And we were trying for an hour straight. No joke. Like maybe in the middle like of 20 minutes, he was like, he wanted to give up. He's like, yeah, dude, honestly, I don't feel it. I'm just going to camp out and just wait for my PS5 and just pick it up and everything. And I was like, heck no, dude, don't give up. You better not give up. You better keep trying because I'm trying. And then we keep going for a little bit, like 15 minutes later, I text him like, still trying, bro. And he's like, same here, dude. And then I guess apparently after that message, like another 30 minutes go by and he sends me a text, dude, I fucking got one. And I was like, no way. Like, I was so happy for him. I was so hyped and like in denial. I was like, dude, there's no way you got one right now. And he's like, yeah, dude, look. He sends me a screenshot of his order confirmation, his shipping address. And I was like, dude, heck yeah. That is so awesome. I'm so happy for you. So that was really cool to see that he got one, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
he
did it through GameStop.
Oh, shit.
So it was really weird with the online website because every time you hit add to cart, it would give you like an error message and it'll be like, error, cannot add to cart, but we will add more inventory. Please try again in a few minutes. So I don't know what the strat was, but he told me all he was doing was every time he clicked add to cart and he got that message, he would instantly press refresh, add to cart, refresh, add to cart, refresh, add to cart, refresh, add to cart, you know? So finally, he was able to pull through one, checked out and everything. So that was awesome. So I'm really hyped for him. That was really cool. And then earlier today, my dad was telling me like in the morning when I woke up that he lost $300. And I was like, where the heck did you lose $300 from? And he was telling me because my other friend, Robert, because he wanted a PS5 and his dad came over and we're talking about it and stuff. And then he was saying that like, yeah, little Robert said he doesn't even want the PS5. And I was like, nah, like this is probably 4 days ago. He was talking to me. And when he came over, he was like, Big Robert is Robert's dad. So Big Robert was telling me, yeah, little Robert says he doesn't even want it. And I was like, trust me, he wants one. He said he wanted one, but I'm pretty sure he just doesn't want his dad to buy it for him. You know what I mean? But overall, like, he wants one. Trust me. He wants one. He told me he does. He said he was trying to get one, you know? He was like, all right. So apparently when my dad told me he lost $300, like, I was like, where'd you lose $300 from? He was like, so they're doing this raffle at SpaceX. That's where Big Robert works. They're doing this raffle at SpaceX for the PS5. And I gave Big Robert $300 for tickets, for raffle tickets. And we didn't win one. And I was like, no, are you serious? And then my dad was like, yeah, we didn't win. And I was like, wow, dude, that's crazy. So later on in the day, little Robert's FaceTiming me. And I was like, what the heck? Like, what the heck? Like, let's see what's up. So I answered. I'm like, yo, what's up? And I showed like my dad because I was talking to my dad at the moment. And I guess my dad saw that little Robert got like in his room. He had the PS5. And I was like, oh, my dad was like, nah, like he was screaming with excitement and stuff. And I look at the phone again, and then he's showing my dad the PS5. And I'm like, no way, dude. Heck yes. So Robert got a PS5 too. So just pure excitement for all the homies getting PS5s. You know, it was, it's such an awesome experience. So I guess big Robert, Robert's dad, was able to get a PS5 from the raffle.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah, dude, it was pretty hype. But the way it was working, it wasn't a SpaceX raffle. It was someone from work that was raffling off the PlayStation 5. So I wanted to get your opinion on this raffle slash gambling, like how you feel about it. So would you be fined with a scalper raffle? So pretty much it was an $1,100 cap limit for raffles. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So once he reached $1,100, $1,000, $100 for one PS5 raffle, that's when he would raffle off the, like, find the random name and they call it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I think Big Robert pitched in $500 for it. So he has five tickets in there, right?
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much the price of a PS5, you know? So six other people had to pay, it was $100 a ticket. So that's five entries, okay?
Yeah.
So, but he was able to win. You know what I mean? Like, imagine paying $500 and not winning from a scalper. Like, how are you okay with these scalper raffles? Would you rather enter into these to get a PS5 or an Xbox Series X? Is this something you would be down to do? Because potentially you could pay $100 for one ticket and could win a PS5 for $100.
Yeah.
Or Series X. But I wanted to get your opinion on it.
Okay, so Robert's dad spent like five bills, right? To get a PS5 practically, right?
I think it was $300 for my dad. Basically, he pitched in money for me and my brother. So it's me, my dad, and my brother, $300. Mm-hmm. Robert's dad and then Robert's brother. So that's $500.
For sure. Honestly, like, and he got the disc version, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah, $500 with no tax, you know. I think he got a good deal compared to, like, you know, scalpers on eBay. On eBay, they're selling it for nearly, like, $1,500, and they're selling on there. Honestly, it's a good deal. You're practically pretty much buying it off, like, a retailer, you know, in a way, you know, in a sense. But, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but, yeah, like, scalpers, you know, like, you know, we live in a free country, you know, you can do whatever you want. If you're willing to spend money that isn't essential, then by all means go for it, you know, especially if you work hard for your money and you're willing to like spend it for something, you know, go for it, you know. So I don't see like a problem with that, you know, in a way. Maybe some people do, but to me it's just, you know, that's just like the free market, you know, in a way.
Yeah, same here. Like when I thought about it, like I would potentially, because I've done like a raffle like this on Instagram. Like I pay $10 for, I think it was like a custom Vita. It was like worth like $400 because it was modded. It had hacks and everything too on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I only pitched in, I think, like $10 for a ticket, but he was asking for 150 tickets. So I don't know. That's just random numbers, I'm guessing. Don't correct me on my math. But so like, let's say I buy one ticket, I could potentially get a $400 item and only pay $10. You know what I mean? So you're pretty much doing a gamble and a risk with this type of raffle. But to me, like I said on the last episode, like Dane, like I hate the fact of scalpers and everything, but maybe this sounds better. Nah, I just hate scalpers. I don't like the idea of scalpers, but I mean, the idea of potentially getting the item cheaper than ever wouldn't hurt. You know what I mean? If you have that type of money just lying around to risk it, you know what I mean? You got to take the risk to actually see the potential in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And overall, like I'm super hyped because if they would have spent like $700 for tickets and still not get the PS5, I would be like, oh man, that's a crazy risk. You know what I mean? I think five was going to be the limit, you know?
Yeah.
That's awesome, though. I'm super hyped for Robert. That was so sick.
Yeah. Happy for you, Robert, if you're listening.
Hell yeah. You too, Andres. I know Andres is getting his PS5. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm super hyped. That was my most exciting news and just a cool conversation to get this mm-hmm. the episode started. But if you guys like the idea of scalpers raffling it off, or maybe they even offer more tickets to raffle it off to meet their price, like the way this guy did it, $100 a ticket. So that's 11 tickets pretty much for his price cap for $1,100 is what he's trying to make. No matter what, that scalper guy made his money regardless.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Everyone that's buying a ticket is pretty much taking the risk, you know? Mm-hmm. And so maybe would you guys want to see scalpers do more of this? Or would you want to maybe see more, like maybe a price change instead of $100, maybe $50? But then that's, you have to double it, right? That's 22 if he's doing $1,100. Who knows at the price, you know what I mean? Depends on the price and the scalper, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, I'd rather take a raffle from a scalper than to purchase it off a scalper on eBay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, instead of paying full price.
Yeah, chances are you'll spend like $100 on a raffle ticket and you'll buy it. You pretty much win a PS5 for just $100 instead of spending $1,500 on eBay for a PS5, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's cool though.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, I was super hyped when he called me. I was like, heck yeah, dude, that's so sick. I'm super hyped for all the homies that are getting PS5s right now, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, we got I think we got back up 3 more people and then that's it. I could be done. But oh, another thing to keep, I guess, like a little bit of news going on. Like we did the God of War news, the scalper news, blah, blah, blah. Sony has officially said that they are out of stock of PS5.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard that. Yeah, so it's not that they won't bring them back. It's just that right now with the pandemic and everything, manufacturers are struggling, but like it's hard to meet demand within the year. So as of right now, Sony said their warehouses are out of stock of PS5s. There are no more they can send out to retailers or sell with a direct link that they're just done for the year, that there's just no more.
That's fucking wild.
So your last chance to get a PS5 is this Black Friday. I'm pretty sure by the time this episode goes up, Black Friday will be over. But yeah, so I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to say because we won't know, or like the message that I'm giving to you is like, it's pretty much too late, I guess. Yeah. Maybe a random chance Best Buy, Target, or Walmart or GameStop will get a random stock day to get PS5s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's crazy to me. Honestly, I really hope, if you're listening to this, I hope you guys got your PS5s for Black Friday. I'll be super hyped for you. If you did, let me know. If you didn't, let me know. I would like to know, I would like to know your stories of trying to get the PS5 or your stories of you securing the PS5 and how easy it was or how hard it was and how much of a relief it was when you did get it or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But,
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm sure when Sony let the news out about them not having any more PS5s, I was thinking in my mind, I bet the scalpers on eBay are rubbing their hands, you know, like, yeah, you know. This is so funny.
Yeah.
Because they know that people are willing to buy, PS5s for, a high price, you know. Sadly, you know.
Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Honestly, like I said, there's going to be a day where those scalpers have to undercut their prices because they have too many in stock that they're holding when the PS5 becomes relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I have a question. Let's say, is Best Buy doing a Black Friday?
Yes.
In person, right?
No. So every retailer besides GameStop is doing a PS5 release online. GameStop is the only company doing it in store. You can pick it up that same day and take it home. Oh, another side note, when I went to Best Buy to pick up my headset, when I went to GameStop to see if they had it, someone was already camping out in a tent.
For what? For the
PS5? For PS5, yes.
Oh, okay, because they're not doing pre-orders for those PS5s. You have to come get them, right, in person, right?
Pre-orders are done because it has officially launched. You know, it's first come, first serve now.
Yeah. All right. For sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, dude, for me, if I didn't have one today, I would be camping out right now. There would be no podcast this week.
Yeah.
I would be in the tent and everything.
Yeah.
If I didn't have security and everything, but not security, but a secured one, you know?
Yeah. Let's do one for this Best Buy or Games for our up? Nearest store, you know, just camp out, get another PS5, and then sell it on eBay for $200,000.
No, we'll raffle it. We'll raffle it, but we'll be disguised so I can make it look like you won, but then me and you just split the money and we'll do another raffle. And keep it up like that.
But that's a joke, though. I'm joking.
Yeah, for sure. All jokes and giggles. But yeah, nonetheless, everything else has been chill. Yeah, I mean, we could go right into the news.
Mm-hmm.
Main topic. So our main topic today is the Game Awards. If you don't know what the Game Awards, it's a show hosted by Jeff Keighley and created by Jeff Keighley, I think. I can't confirm that. I assume yes. All right. But so if you don't know what the Game Awards is, they pretty much announce, like, they give away awards to video games for different types of categories. So there's categories like best esports, esports host, esports team, esports host, esports game, esports event, esports coach, esports athlete, best game debut, content creator of the year, best multiplayer, best sports racing, best sim strategy, best family, best fighting, best, pretty much the best of the best of a video game category or anything resolved around video games, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But overall, we'll go down the list. I'm thinking maybe saving Game of the Year last, and just, I don't know if you're on the website too, Mike, looking at the categories.
Yeah.
To me, not that I don't care. I think esports is cool in its own way, but I don't know much knowledge, so I'm thinking just skipping the esports category entirely, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
All right, so if you go to categories, just go to best debut game, and then we'll work from the bottom and scroll up, okay?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, I'm loading up right now. Give me a second. So pretty much, I would say this is like the hardcore Defiance. Oops, I got interrupted. I'm gonna have to scroll down. I would say the way the Game Awards is, I would say it's like not dominance, but I don't know the right words I'm looking for. Pretty much how this goes is firm to me. So yeah, IGN has their own Game of the Year game that they choose, like the company alone. But the way this works is that the community, like regular people, could vote on it. But I think it only has like it's affected by a couple percentage, but it's mainly debated through big companies like IGN, Kinda Funny Games, Easy Allies, big companies from all around the world. They cast their votes from the nominees and they choose like that. That's where it's mainly based off of. I would say the bigger percentage of like which vote takes over, you know? So that's why I say this type of ceremony takes over every other ceremony that happens throughout the year to choose which game wins what, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you had an easier way to say it, or if I messed something up, if you want to correct me.
No, you're good. You're good.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Best debut game for the best debut game created by a new independent studio. Carry On, Mortarshell, Raji and Ancient Epic, Roki, and Phasmophobia. Which one did you pick?
Which one would I pick? Honestly, I like the image that I like Mortal Shell, like the character design. In a way, I'd pick Mortal Shell. Phasmophobia looks pretty good too, just because it obviously looks like it's horror based. But in my opinion, I think Mortal Shell. I've never played Mortal Shell. I don't know if you have, but I really dig the atmosphere of that game.
Yeah, Mortarshell was pretty cool. My brother played it and beat it. I talked about it on the podcast when I saw the first like trailer of it, and I was super hyped, but I didn't play it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't vote for that. I picked something completely different because I just thought the animation looked nice. I picked Roki. I don't know anything about it, but I just think the thumbnail that they had was really cool, which is really weird because I know more of Carry On and Phasmophobia, but for me, I think Roki might win. Overall, I honestly think Phasmophobia might win, or Raji and Ancient Epic. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Phasmophobia was that ghost game I was telling you about where you can actually talk to the ghost and the ghost responds to you with actions or words. Remember?
Yeah, you did tell me.
Yeah, that game was pretty cool. But overall, my vote goes to Roki. Looks pretty cool. If it's on Switch, I'll pick it up. It looks kind of cool. I got to look at a trailer for that. So next on the list, we got Content Creator of the Year for a streamer or content creator who has made an important and positive impact on the community in 2020. Also, if you guys want to go cast your votes, if you're interested in picking who are on the one that you want to win the most in any of these categories, it's free. Just make an account. I don't even think you need to make an account. I'm not sure. But yeah, you just go to thegameawards.com and then you're there. Top right, click nominees and you can cast your votes. It's really easy. It's simple. It looks really good too. It's a big update from last year's. But yeah, right now, Content Creator of the Year, we got Alana Pierce. I'm going to butcher this name. J.N. Lopez, Nick Merckx, Tim the Tatman, and Valkyrie. Who did you pick?
I picked Alana Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I wouldn't say an OG from IGN because that's like Jessica Chobot and Naomi Kyle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I picked Alana Pierce just because I enjoyed her, like her presence at IGN.
Mm-hmm.
I think she had like a pretty unique personality in a way with her accent too, because I'm assuming she's like Australian or British. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I chose Alana Pierce.
Yeah, same here. Just because I know her the most, not that I know her, but just like I know of her just because I would always listen to IGN podcasts and that's how I first heard of her and stuff. Yep. I just kept up with her when she moved to Funhouse, and then now, dude, she works at Santa Monica Studios now.
Really? With God of War?
Yeah, I don't know if she's going to be working with God of War. She didn't say, but she's a writer for Santa Monica Studios.
Holy shit. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. So, yeah, that got my vote. Same here.
All right.
Next, we got Best Multiplayer for Outstanding Online Multiplayer Gameplay and Design, including co-op and massively multiplayer experiences, irrespective of game genre or platform. Animal Crossing New Horizons, Among Us, Call of Duty Warzone, Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, and Valorant.
I'd say Fall Guys. Oh, that's a hard pick, dude. Because like I've heard of Animal Crossing, Among Us, you know, like obviously Call of Duty Warzone, Fall Guys, Valorant. Like those are all really good fucking games.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say Fall Guys just because I've heard so much like praise mm-hmm. about that game, like so much fun. So I'm gonna go with Fall Guys.
All right, you're gonna go with Fall Guys. But which one do you know or have a feeling that's gonna win, or do you just feel like Fall Guys is gonna win it?
Ah, fuck. Maybe Animal Crossing might win.
Okay.
Just because the Nintendo fan base is pretty big in a way. But Among Us is also pretty big too. That's a hard decision, but I'm going to say maybe Fall Guys. I've seen a lot of live streams with Fall Guys, so I'm going to say Fall Guys.
All right. Yeah, I've also voted for Fall Guys, but in my gut, I feel like Animal Crossing might win just because it has made a huge impact. I think Among Us is like my second choice. I don't think Fall Guys is going to win, but that's my vote. But mm-hmm. Animal Crossing, with the impact it has, like they have interviews with like Selena Gomez, like famous actors and famous like, I don't know, like senators or Republicans, Dominicans. I don't know. Like they mm-hmm. even have their own like Animal Crossing islands and they do interviews with them on there. I thought that's cool, I guess. But yeah, I think Animal Crossing, I have a gut feeling it might win. If Fall Guys wins, heck yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah. I feel like Among Us is a close second just because it's been getting a lot of praise, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Call of Duty Warzone, like, I don't know. I don't hear a lot of people hyping it up. I know a lot of people do play it and they have a fantastic time with it. But in my opinion, it's not like a craze, you know what I mean? Like Fall Guys, Among Us, and Animal Crossing. Valorant, yeah. It's new, but honestly, like I was into it for like I think like 2 months maybe since the beta and maybe like a little bit after the full release, but I got out of it just because I couldn't take it anymore. I was over it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a cool experience. I did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we got best sports / racing for the best traditional and non-traditional sports and racing game. We have Dirt 5, F1 2020, FIFA 21, NBA 2K21, and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2.
I voted for Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2.
Same here. Go on. I'll let you go.
Just because it's a childhood memory. You know, the very first PS1 game I played was Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Mm-hmm. So I had to go with that one, even though I haven't played it, you know, and you already know I'm not really like a huge skateboarding fan, but for sure anything that comes with has to do with Tony Hawk, I'm gonna vote for it, you know, in terms of, you know, best sports racing category. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with Tony Hawk.
Yeah, definitely. I voted for Tony Hawk also. I really believe that Tony Hawk will win this category.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
Like, I feel like I mean, just knowing like everyone else in the community, or not the community, but the people that actually have an impact on votes. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think Tony Hawk has any real competition here besides maybe FIFA. NBA 2K21.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it pretty much.
Yeah. FIFA's pretty big too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe that too. But none of that, like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater is something it's brand new, but the remake from Vicarious Visions is fantastic. It's something new to the table. NBA 2K21 is like
a rehash.
It's at least from someone that doesn't play it, it looks like the same thing over and over again, just like Call of Duty and FIFA. Yeah. It goes the same way. I never mm-hmm. heard of F1 2020, and I never played Dirt 5 or mm-hmm. Dirt, period. But overall, next we got best sim / strategy, best game focused on real time or turn-based simulation or strategy gameplay irrespective of platform. We got Crusader Kings 3, Desperados the 3rd, Gears Tactics, Microsoft Flight Simulator, and XCOM Chimera Squad. I don't know why I'm gonna cancel my vote and mm-hmm. vote for this one, because I don't know why I voted for that, but mm-hmm. I'm gonna just tell you right now. I'll just go first, I guess. I'm choosing Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Yeah, same here. I've seen so many great videos of it and how accurate it is portraying mm-hmm. like, you know, cities here in California. Well, from what I've seen.
Yeah, dude, it looks fantastic. Especially if you have a high end PC, you can mm-hmm. even enable, I think, real time airplane routes. So if there's an airplane going over your house right now, and you're playing Microsoft Flight Simulator, you could go over your house and see that same exact airplane that's going above you.
That's fucking sick.
Like in real time. That's awesome. So for how much work and how much, because I think they've been talking about Microsoft Flight Simulator for like 2 years, at mm-hmm. least the first I've heard of it. And wow, that game is, the simulation is fantastic. So Microsoft Flight Simulator, I believe, is definitely going to take the cake on that.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, next we got best family game for the best appropriate for family play, irrespective of genre or platform. Animal Crossing New Horizons, Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, Mario Kart Live Home Circuit, Minecraft Dungeons, and Paper Mario the Origami King.
Damn, that's a good one. I don't think it's going to win, but I voted for Crash Bandicoot. It just because it's very, very family-oriented.
Yeah.
But I do think maybe Animal Crossing or Fall Guys will win this category.
Okay. I didn't think about that either. Mm-hmm. Actually, I did, but I was kind of voting for something I did know was going to win. And mm-hmm. my gut, I feel like Fall Guys is going to win, just because mm-hmm. I do not understand how to me, it's like, I don't know, how can you get your kids around? Like, maybe you have 5 Switches and be like, hey, let's go work on an island together in the living room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with Fall Guys, like, it's either you win or lose, you pass the controller up, and all you guys are hyped, like, trying to get to the next round, getting to that ultimate crown, you know what I mean? Being the winner of the show. But, mm-hmm. so my vote and my gut feeling says Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, but mm-hmm. I feel like an underdog that might come up and take it is your choice, Crash Bandicoot. I don't know why. Yeah. I feel like they're going to come up and take it from one of these. Like, if mm-hmm. it's anybody, it's going to be Crash Bandicoot, if it's not mm-hmm. Fall Guys, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah. But, I'm surprised you didn't mention Paper Mario. You played that game one, right?
Yeah, Paper Mario is cool, and I don't think it's, like, yeah, like, for sure, all of these games are family-friendly, but the thought that I'm getting into is how do you play this game with your family, you know? Animal Crossing has online multiplayer. Crash Bandicoot, it's easy to pass the controller and take turns. Mm-hmm. Same as Fall Guys. Mario Kart Live Home Circuit is cool because you could get your family together and make the racetrack together. Mm-hmm. Minecraft Dungeons is co-op, but Paper Mario is just strictly single player. I guess it's cool because you can have your family next to you watching you play, and the story and the words are really, really cool to read with somebody, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just have a low feeling for Paper Mario. Mm-hmm. Like, if anything, I really believe it's either going to be Fall Guys, the underdog will be Crash Bandicoot, and like, if anyone's competing against each other, Animal Crossing will be fighting Fall Guys. But yeah, other than that, we'll move on to the next category. We got best fighting for the best game design, primarily around head-to-head combat. We got Granblue Fantasy Versus, Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate, Street Fighter V Champion Edition, One Punch Man, A Hero Nobody Knows, Under Night in Birth X Late CLR. I don't know what the heck that is, but take it away with your choice.
I have to say Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate, just because with the amount of DLC characters they've been giving out to players, I had a vote for it. Like, they gave out, I think, like Rambo and like Terminator, you know, like all these iconic characters in a badass game. Like, it deserves my vote in a way.
Okay, so you're going mostly off nostalgia.
Yeah, nostalgia. Yeah, and plus, like, the fighting is pretty good. I like it.
Okay, I feel that. I think Mortal Kombat is gonna win it also, but I feel like, for my choice, I pick Street Fighter V. I don't know why I'm picking Street Fighter V. I'm not much into these fighting games. I don't keep up with them. I know, at least from what I know, Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter V have been adding DLC after DLC. Like, they've been keeping up with it. I think Mortal Kombat is on season 2, and I think Street Fighter V is like on season 4 of their DLC. I'm not really sure, but yeah. After that, we got best role-playing. For the best game design with rich player character customization and progression, including massively multiplayer experiences. Final Fantasy VII Remake, Genshin Impact, Persona 5 Royale, Wasteland 3, and Yakuza Like a Dragon.
I'd have to say Persona 5 Royale.
All right, what's your reasoning?
I've never played, like I said before, I've never played Persona 5, but I have like a couple friends who have like talk to me about Persona 5, how good it is and stuff like that. So I gave my vote to Persona 5.
My man. So did I.
So did you.
Yeah.
Now you know, I'll cancel it.
Yeah, for sure. I picked Persona 5 Royale overall because Genshin Impact was cool, but I can really hook myself onto it to keep playing because it did feel more of a like, once you keep going, you could kind of understand the gacha experience. And it's cool because the characters look really sick and their fighting animations are really dope. But I don't know. I couldn't just get hooked by just that idea alone. Final Fantasy VII was cool, but like, out of all of them, Persona 5 Royale, I didn't play it, but I played Persona 5 and I love Persona 5 as much as I did. And I didn't beat that also, but I put in 90 hours. So I could say I actually like enjoyed it. You know what I mean? And I can't wait to start Royale just because I know there's like, what, like 40 more hours into the game after? Like, they added some new content. And I love the experience of going through it. I think it's really awesome. But yeah, I chose Persona 5 Royale. Do I think it will win?
Maybe.
Yeah. But if any other competition, I don't think Wasteland 3 or Yakuza is going to take it. Just because I don't know a lot of information about it. I don't see a lot of people talking about it. But if anything, I feel like its only competition really is Final Fantasy or Genshin Impact. I really don't think Final Fantasy is a challenger, but I think Genshin Impact and Persona 5 Royale are going to be going to heads. All right. Other than this, this kind of blows my mind in this category because usually the way the Game Awards is, which kind of I don't understand, is why do they have a cutoff date in November? And they don't say when's the cutoff date, because if you look at this category right here, best action slash adventure, for best action adventure game combining combat with traversal and puzzle solving. So the nominees are Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Ghost of Tsushima, Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, Ori and the Will of the Wisp, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and The Last of Us Part 2. Mm-hmm. One thing I don't understand is that Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order came out last year, November, which is a fantastic game, and it wasn't nominated for anything, I believe, of 2019. And I think this is the only category it got nominated for. And once we go up the list, I'll tell you right now, spoilers for Game of the Year nominations, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is not even nominated. And I feel like maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but I feel like Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order should have been a nominee for Game of the Year, because I thought that game was fantastic. It had a great story, great gameplay, a great upgrade system. Just the way it was awesome. The platforming and everything, going to that Star Wars universe in a different perspective, like after this, the events of the game take after Episode 3, after they execute Order 66, and like it's weird to see it in Best Action Adventure than nothing else out of all these categories, I believe. And another thing mind-blowing too is that Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales is a couple of nominations on these lists, but we don't see any Demon Souls or Astro's Playroom. And I feel like, because I beat Astro's Playroom, and I feel like it deserves at least a nomination in one of these nominees. Definitely. But Astro's Playroom is fantastic, but like, I don't get to pick and choose. Neither does the host, Jeff Keighley. I believe he does not choose the games that are nominated. But yeah, it's kind of weird to see Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales that launched in November 12th on a nominee, but Demon's Souls didn't. Like, that's weird.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to make up for it. Like, I feel like there wasn't a lot of like games that fit in this category, so they're trying to like make up for it with these games that are just barely coming out this month, in a way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then why throw in Fallen Order, you know, like that's late.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so like it's weird to see a very late game that didn't get nominated for anything last year see it in one category, and something that came out like a little bit mid-November in the nominations, you know. That's just my thought. Like, I'm hyped to see them in this category. I wish Jedi Fallen Order was in more, and I wish they just saved Miles Morales for next year. You know what I mean? But I mean, I digress. That's just something I wanted to get off my chest. Like, just a question out thought. If you know the reasoning why, or why you think why, let me know, you know? So let me read that off. Best action slash adventure: Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Ghost of Tsushima, Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, Ori the Will of the Wisp, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and The Last of Us Part 2. What got your vote?
What got my vote? The Last of Us Part 2. Yeah. Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales. I haven't played it, but when I watched you play it, I was like, yeah, this is game of the year. Best action adventure nominee, you know?
Awesome. Yeah, I chose... Like I said, I really thought Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order should have been a nominee for Game of the Year. So when I saw it for this, it just got my vote immediately. I didn't care about anything else. I didn't think about anything else. But do I think it will win? I really hope so, because it's the only nomination it got, and it deserves more credit, in my opinion. So I hope it wins. But I think... I don't know, because Ghost of Tsushima doesn't really have a lot of puzzle solving, but combat, traversal, and puzzles, Jedi Fallen Order does have. Spider-Man has a little bit of puzzles, but not like crazy cool. Ori the Will of the Wisp looks fantastic, and I'm playing through the first one right now on my Switch. I have not played the sequel, but it looks beautiful, and I heard it's really cool, but I don't think it has puzzles either. I don't know. I'm just going out based off the description. Last of Us Part 2, I don't think has good combat. Like, mm-hmm. like in my opinion, I don't think the combat is great. I don't think it's bad, but I don't think it's great for winning this type of category. Mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I can't really say much just because it looks awesome. I don't know. I heard a lot of good things about it. I feel like maybe the one that's going to take is Assassin's Creed Valhalla overall.
Probably.
But my vote goes to Jedi Fallen Order. And I really hope it wins. Next, after that category, we got Best Action for the best game in the action genre focused primarily on combat. Mm-hmm. We have Doom Eternal, Hades, Half-Life Alyx, Nioh 2, and Streets of Rage 4. Which did you vote for? Oh, yeah. You voted for Half-Life Alyx?
Yeah, hell yeah. Nah, I voted for Doom Eternal. I just had to. I already know it's in this category.
Same here. Dude, so I always forget, dude, that you have the digital version. Doom Eternal is on sale for like $15 at Best Buy.
Digitally?
Physical.
Oh, $15?
What the? Yes.
Really? Because like on the PSN store, it's for $20.
Oh, okay.
Not only that, but I also have it for like the Game Pass, which I paid for $1. I still haven't played it on the Xbox One X. Mm-hmm. But I want to play on the PlayStation 5 just because, you know, I want to get the best of it, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, definitely. But overall, yeah, I voted for Doom Eternal 2. I thought the action, the combat was fantastic. I heard a lot of good things from Half-Life Alyx. I can't say much because I didn't look more into it. I heard Nioh 2 was a fantastic game. Streets of Rage 4 also. And the only experience I've have is Doom Eternal and Hades. And Hades has a lot of good action too. I'm not really sure who's its real competition to, but if anything, I think Doom Eternal is going to take this.
Mm-hmm.
Innovation in accessibility. Recognizing software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. We have Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Grounded, Hyper Dot, Last of Us Part 2, and Watch Dogs Legion. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I do not understand this category at all, and I just voted for Grounded.
I think it means like maybe visually and stuff, like something that's quite unique. Maybe not groundbreaking in a way, but like something that's quite unique in a way. But I voted for The Last of Us Part 2 just because I've seen the combat, the way you can dodge like enemies' blows or punches, and it just looks so amazing. Like I've seen so many like GIFs or GIFs on Twitter, and I was like, damn, like the combat has improved a lot in The Last of Us Part 2 compared to the first game. But my vote's for The Last of Us Part 2 just because like the game, visually, the game is just gorgeous, you know?
Okay. All right, I don't have much to say after that, but next category, we got best VR/AR for the best experience playable in virtual or augmented reality, irrespective of platform. We have Dreams, Half-Life Alyx, Iron Man's VR, Star Wars Squadron, and The Walking Dead, The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners. Which one did you vote for?
I voted for Dreams.
Same here, buddy. Which one do you think is going to win, though?
I don't know. Half-Life is pretty popular within the PC community. True. But Dreams, you know, I've seen so many great videos of people creating like levels on YouTube. It's just insane, you know, like what you can do with this game. But I have to say Dreams.
All right. I voted for Dreams also just because of the like best community, like them making their own levels. I seen like how popular it is. If anything, it's only challengers, in my opinion, is The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, just because I've heard nothing but good things from it. And maybe the one that's really going to win is Half-Life Alyx, just because I heard nothing but great and amazing things from that VR game. And it was not just because it was VR, but the story in it was fantastic, is what everyone says. All right. Next, we have best community support. Recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates and patches. We have Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, and Valorant. Which one do you think is going to win?
Fuck. I would say maybe Fortnite. Well, Fortnite does not have my vote. That's for sure. I voted for Fall Guys. But I do know that they're always updating Fortnite with a shit ton of like DLC, free DLC. I don't know how they do it, but in a sense, I think that Fortnite's going to win. But I did vote for Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout.
All right, sick, sick. Yeah, I also voted for Fall Guys just because I know since I've been into the Fall Guys community since like beta, so before even the game launch. Mm-hmm. And they've been taking note, and I think they've been great with community. They respond to a lot of people. I remember there was a lot of cheaters when the first game came out, and they kept it really low-key and really awesome how they handled it. When they found a cheater, they would put them in cheater world, pretty much, where they would only lock in games with other cheaters. So, yeah, I think Fall Guys is definitely going to take the cake. I'm trying not to, like bash you for saying not, like, thinking Fortnite is going to win, but overall, like out of all of these other games, the only one that I could see listening to its community is Destiny 2. Like mm-hmm. they just came out with a brand new big update. They took a lot of notes from the community, at least from what my friends say, that it's a lot better experience with Beyond Light. I don't really see a lot of news with Apex Legends. I don't see them. I mean, I don't even follow them on social media, so I can't really say, but I see a lot of news about Fortnite and their big Marvel update and everything, but mm-hmm. I don't see them like interacting with the community a lot. Yeah, they do a lot of community things, but like I don't see them like going out of their way, talking on Twitter, talking to everyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No Man's Sky and Valorant, just a flat out no. Yeah, it's pretty, I don't know. Overall, I think the best one that talks to the community, does something about it when they know they gotta step up their game like instantly is like Fall Guys for sure.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, you know.
Yeah. So it's between Fortnite and Fall Guys who are gonna win this category, right?
For me, it's Fall Guys and Destiny.
Okay. Oh, that too.
Yeah. For you, yeah. I was gonna say, mm-hmm. but yeah. Nonetheless, we'll move on to the next one. Best mobile game for the best game playable on a mobile device. Among Us, Call of Duty Mobile, Genshin Impact, Legends of Runeterra, and Pokemon Cafe Mix.
Cafe Mix.
I think it's hands down already. You can flat out tell it's going to be Among Us.
Yeah, our Among Us, absolutely.
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. I could probably see Genshin Impact because the way it plays on mobile, if you have a controller adapter to it, it plays mm-hmm. the same exact way. It's fantastic. Like it looks like you're playing on a console pretty much on your phone. But other than that, I think Among Us is going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we got Best Indie for Outstanding Creative and Technical Achievement in a game made outside the traditional publisher system. Carry On, Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, Hades, Spelunky 2, and Spiritfarer.
Fuck, I voted for Fall Guys, but I know what you're going to vote for.
Which am I going to vote for?
Hades.
Spelunky 2, because it has a pug in it.
Oh,
no, just kidding. Yes, I did vote for Hades just because story, fantastic. Combat, fantastic. Artistic style, fantastic. Freaking voice acting, fantastic. Like everything, I could not say one bad thing about that game. It is great. I love that game. For sure, one of my favorite games of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to go back and play it some more because after you beat it once, you literally had to keep beating it to learn more of the ending of the story.
Mm.
But like after I beat it once, I kind of felt, not that I felt off of it. It's just that like, all right, I beat it. Cool. I know I got to play more of it, but I'm gonna put my attention towards other games right now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, other competition that I think it has is either Fall Guys, Spelunky 2, and Spiritfarer. I heard Spiritfarer has a fantastic story also dealing with the dead because I guess in that game, it's the little limbo world you go into right after you die before you get sent to heaven or hell, I believe. I'm not sure if it goes to hell, but that's what I've heard. Like it's that little limbo world where you stay at for a little bit and then you go into the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard every side story or every encounter you go through is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But in my vote, I'm choosing Hades. And you said Fall Guys, right?
Yeah.
Nice, nice. After that, we got Best Ongoing, awarded to the game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time. Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Call of Duty Warzone, Fortnite, No Man's Sky.
I voted for Fortnite, and I'm not even a huge Fortnite person, but for sure, Fortnite's been out there for like 3 years now.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's just when I hear the category Best Ongoing, I'm assuming in my mind, like I'm assuming that it's a game that's been like progressing or out there for a while and it's still popular. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, yeah, definitely. You got the right mindset.
I'm with that mentality. I'm just going to go with Fortnite just because like those guys are still going strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I don't believe anything's going to stop Fortnite. They're literally their own freaking money bank at this point with how much fan base it has and everything. But mm-hmm. In my opinion, I'm choosing Destiny 2 because I feel like it's got to be the year for Destiny 2. Every single nomination it's had for these past 2 years, I think it's his third year going strong. I don't remember, but I've been voting for it and it has not won. I feel like this is the year Destiny 2 is going to be taking these nominations and they're getting these awards. God damn it. Just because I know I have a huge community of friends that be playing Destiny 2 and they talk so much about how they're changing things for the better. You know what I mean? So I'm going to say Destiny 2. I think Fortnite is its real only competition right now. And maybe even an underdog. I think No Man's Sky too, because they've been promising a lot of things and they've been delivering. And I believe for free too. Free also. Yeah. You know? Any other thing like Apex? Like, yeah, but I don't see like a lot of hype. I don't see a lot of big trailers for it. Like, at least with Fortnite, you see all the new Marvel stuff. Destiny 2, you know they've reimagined it completely with the Beyond Light update. No Man's Sky, I mean, I don't know much about No Man's Sky, but I've just been seeing huge updates for them and completely different worlds, and I think it looks cool. I'm not that into it, though. But and then there comes Apex, where I'm just like, oh, cool, a new season? I don't know what to say more about it, you know? Not to bash that Apex isn't keeping up with these three, but it's the less hype that I see. Even Warzone, I don't see anything with Warzone. Like, I think the latest thing I saw was the zombie update, but that was Halloween, and that was it. But what were you going to say?
I was going to say No Man's Sky has improved a lot from the day it launched back in 2016, I think. Damn, dude, I remember, like, it was so trash. A lot of people were just bashing it because it was, like, unfinished, you know?
Yeah, they promised a lot and didn't deliver.
Yeah, it didn't deliver. I remember that, damn, like, and it's just so funny. It's so great to see how it progressed in a good way. But damn, I'll never forget how much hate it got, you know, when it launched. Because it was so disappointing. And I saw many videos of it like glitching and stuff. It was just so funny and sad at the same time. But pretty good to see it like progress, you know. But my vote's still for Fortnite.
All right, for sure. Yeah, next after that we got Games for Impact. For a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message. If found, Kentucky Route Zero TV Edition. Spiritfarer, Tell Me Why. Through the Darkest of Times. What'd you vote for?
Fuck, I haven't played any of these, and I can tell these are indie games. But, I'm just gonna go with the best thumbnail. I'm gonna go with Through the Darkest of Times, also because of the title. I'm assuming you go through, like some dark moments in this particular character's life in the game, and you have to solve it in a way. That's what I think. I haven't played the game at all, but I voted for that one. Through the Darkest of Times.
Nice. All right. For me, I picked Spiritfarer because of the reason of like the little limbo world you go into the afterlife. I don't know any of these other games too. I remember I bought Kentucky Route Zero, but I still have yet touched it when it first came out.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm bad with games, but yeah. Other than that, we have Best Performance awarded to an individual for voice actor, voiceover acting, motion, and or performance capture. We have Ashley Johnson as Ellie from The Last of Us 2, Laura Bailey as Abby from The Last of Us Part 2, Daisuke Tsuji as Jin Sakai from Ghost of Tsushima, Logan Cunningham as Hades in the game Hades, Najee Jeter as Miles Morales from Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales. Excuse my butchering too, by the way. That was that was just god awful. who'd you vote for?
I voted for Ashley Johnson as Ellie from The Last of Us 2. Okay. I already know. I've seen some, you know how I already told you before, like I've already watched like spoilers of it. Mm-hmm. And looking at these scenes of, you know, the way she acts upon like her emotions in that situation, I have to say she, in my opinion, she deserves my vote. I think she did some pretty damn good acting, especially in a game that's really sad in a way. But yeah, that's my vote. I haven't played the game at all, but I already know that it's pretty insane what happens in that game.
Yeah, definitely. From playing all these games, I believe Ashley Johnson or Laura Bailey is going to win for sure. Mm-hmm. But my vote goes towards Logan Cunningham as Hades. Just his portrayal as Hades and the dad of Zagreus. Mm-hmm. It's so fantastic. His voice, like the strength and the performance he puts into the character. Like when Hades gets mad in the game, you could hear it in his voice instead of just like mad, just regular mad tone. Like he's in character, definitely. And I have not seen a voice acting performance in an indie game like this before. And it's so good. Mm-hmm. But obviously there's no motion capture or anything. It's obviously through animation. So all you're really getting is just the voice acting. But for sure, voice acting performance is literally top tier out of the rest of these categories. Mm-hmm. But Miles Morales is a fantastic character also in Spider-Man. I think, like, if anybody is going to fanboy over another superhero, I think Miles Morales was, like, perfect tone. He was cool. He was chill about it. He wasn't annoying and, like, consistently going at Peter and stuff. Like, if he did, you know what I mean? Like, go out of his way and talk to him or say corny stuff overall. You know what I mean? Like, Miles Morales, like, the overall, like, just as a character, let alone if he was fanboying and he wasn't, like, I think his character was awesome also. Same thing was with Jin Sakai. His character was cool, but it felt plain at some points.
Yeah.
But I for sure believe one of the Last of Us characters are definitely going to win just because of that motion capture and, the performance they put on, that how they portray their characters. Mm-hmm. But overall, my vote goes towards Hades. I really hope he wins. Just to, like, I don't know. That's just my point. I really want him to win because I thought it was really cool and really worth it.
Yeah.
But next, we got Best Audio Design. Recognizing the best in-game audio and sound design, we have Doom Eternal, Half-Life Alyx, Ghost of Tsushima, Resident Evil 3, and The Last of Us Part 2.
That's a good category. And my vote, I voted for Doom Eternal, even though I haven't fully played it yet. But, well, actually, I might cancel my vote. I might vote for Resident Evil 3. Just because, playing Resident Evil 2, the audio design in that game was just superb, you know? Like, in every corner, you know, you'd hear something, you hear footsteps, you know it's a zombie, you know? And in this case, you know, I haven't played Resident Evil 3 yet. But I just know it's the same thing. They implemented the same audio design in that game. So I'm going to say my vote's for Resident Evil 3. But I feel like The Last of Us Part 2 is going to win it.
Okay. Why do you say Last of Us Part 2, though?
I haven't played the game, but I know that, you know, Naughty Dog, when it comes to, like, audio design and stuff like that, like, they're pretty damn good at it. Mm-hmm. Hence, you know, example, Uncharted, you know. That game had really great audio design.
Okay. To be fair, I played Ghost of Tsushima. I think it's cool, but I don't know. I don't give me a definition of audio design, audio and sound design. Are you talking about like creaks in the floor, how your gun sounds, the way people, like, you could ripple through the clothes and stuff? Is that where you're going at?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I question Ghost of Tsushima just because the only sound design I can remember is the sound of the leaves or the grass when the wind will blow, the rain, the snow, the lightning. Actually, now mentioning all of those, I think, yeah, that was pretty damn good. like, really fucking good. But now I'm changing my vote now, too. My vote is going towards Ghost of Tsushima just because I thought all of it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The way the fox sounds, I had my original vote towards Doom Eternal just because of the guns and the action, the way it sounds going through that. But overall, it sounded pretty repetitive just because you're pretty much doing the same thing, just slaying demons. And I really do enjoy Ghost of Tsushima's sound. I respect it. There's one scene that was super fantastic, and I won't spoil it. Just so if you haven't played it, you guys can play it and check it out. I love that that encounter. That was awesome. But my vote's going to Ghost of Tsushima. Just because, like, I mean, you can notice it in The Last of Us Part 2 also, but, I mean, to me, it was just more of, all right, cool, water. Like, all right, you know what I mean? Like, if I saw a lake or something, or, like, the boat engine, it just, I don't know. It didn't feel more grabbing my attention towards it. But, yeah, next after that, we got Best Score Music for Outstanding Music, Inclusive of Score, Original Song, and or Licensed Soundtrack. We have Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Hades, Ori and the Will of the Wisp, and The Last of Us Part II.
I think you already knew what I voted for.
Ori and the Will of the Wisp?
No, Hades. Nah, I voted for Doom Eternal.
All right.
Just because, you know, it's Mick Gordon, you know, yeah, you can never go wrong with Doom Eternal soundtrack. I've always enjoyed the soundtrack of Doom, so I know for sure they won 2016's Game of the Year awards for soundtrack. So I'm assuming they're gonna win this. Hopefully they win this category this year. But my vote's for Doom Eternal.
Okay, nice. Yeah, that's my only competition. My vote goes for Final Fantasy VII, just because I think the music and score, whatever, sounds really good. I did like Doom Eternal. I just like Final Fantasy a little bit better. I think Doom Eternal is its only competition. And to say, I feel like the underdog that might take it out of nowhere might be Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Because Ori and the Blind Forest has a fantastic score in the first game. Like, I think it's awesome. I haven't played it, but I just only imagine it only gets better. After that, we got Best Art Direction for Outstanding Creative and or Technical Achievement in Artistic Design and Animation. What the heck? Why would I vote for that? Like, all right, I'm changing my vote right now. Let me read them off. So, Best Art Direction, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Ori and the Will of the Wisp, and The Last of Us Part II. Oh my God, I voted for the wrong thing again. All right. So, my first vote was Ghost of Tsushima. Just because I thought it looks fantastic. My second vote was Hades. And then I was like, oh my God, no way. Ori and the Will of the Wisp looks completely better than all of these games. And the art and the skill that takes that goes in behind it, I think is going to take the cake for this one for sure.
I voted for... Damn, I wouldn't say The Last of Us Part II, just because, you know, there's already a lot of games that are like, that have realistic, you know, graphics of, you know, cities and characters in a way. So I don't know. I haven't played any of these games, but I'm gonna vote for Ori and the Will of the Wisps, just because the art direction from the thumbnail, you know. That's my vote.
I feel like if it goes to anything, I think it's gonna be Ghost of Tsushima or maybe even Final Fantasy VII. Actually.
Oh yeah. Oh shit. That's right. Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah. I've seen your screenshots. So yeah, that also has. That game also has a chance of winning this category.
Like, this is what my vote's going for, but I believe either one of those two is definitely going to win it. All right. Next, we have Best Narrative for Outstanding Storytelling and Narrative Development in a Game. 13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim? Never heard of that. Final Fantasy VII, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, and The Last of Us Part II.
I know you're going to hate me for this, but I voted for The Last of Us Part II.
How?
Because, like, you know, just...
You haven't even played it.
No, but I'm just a fanboy, you know? So I'll get not
played. Oh, shoot. All right.
Not played. No, I just voted for The Last of Us Part II. Like, you know, there's mixed reviews. But for sure, from playing the first Last of Us game, I'm just going to cast my vote. I haven't played any of these games at all. I know you have, but I'm just gonna go for The Last of Us Part II, just because, you know, like, I've enjoyed the first game. You know, I'm not a really huge fan of The Last of Us universe, but, you know, in a way, you know, in a sense, I feel like I'll probably enjoy this game once I get my hands on it on the PS5. Yeah. So who knows? But I'm just voting for The Last of Us Part 2.
All right, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I voted for Hades. Out of all of these storytelling games, I was not like for me, I was not a fan of The Last of Us Part 2. I didn't even finish it. So I guess that doesn't give me the right to judge it. But the way it was going, I was not a fan of. So I always think, like, why play a game you're not enjoying? So yeah. I just stopped, you know? Like, why would I see it to the end? Maybe it did get better. I highly doubt it, in my opinion, but that's not right of me to judge something based off of that. I do want to go back and finish it, like I've been saying on these past couple episodes, but, like, for me, I think it will win this nomination, Best Narrative. I really do believe it's going to win. But my vote goes towards Hades. I think Hades has a fantastic story. I think it's so good.
I agree with you.
Like, it just for my interest in Greek mythology, it all started with the Hercules Disney movie, and it's just always piqued my interest, and it's my favorite.
For sure.
But overall, it was really cool. All right, two nominations left. Best Game Direction, awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Half-Life Alyx, and The Last of Us Part 2.
It's a hard one because I haven't played any of these games, but I voted for Ghost of Tsushima. Just because finally we're getting like a Japanese-based game of samurais, you know, a proper game, because like I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, Assassin's Creed hopefully making a Japanese-based, you know, samurai game, but they never did. And we're finally getting one from a proper studio, you know?
Yeah, so, definitely.
So I had to give it to Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, same here. I think Ghost of Tsushima looks and plays fantastic. And just how beautiful it looks, like that's the only base decision I could base off of. But I feel like its only competition really is Final Fantasy VII, because Final Fantasy VII is also really, really good. It looks really fantastic. I would say it's on par for Ghost of Tsushima. If anything, if any other category were to take it, I think it'd be maybe Half-Life Alyx as the underdog. But my strong votes are going to be Ghost of Tsushima and Final Fantasy VII.
Sure.
And last but not least, the one that you've all been waiting for, Game of the Year. Recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields. Best of the best. Like, top talked about everything. There was nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with the story, et cetera, et cetera. 10 out of 10s, pretty much. Doom Eternal. Final Fantasy VII Remake. Ghost of Tsushima. Hades. Animal Crossing New Horizons. The Last of Us Part 2. What'd you vote for?
I voted for The Last of Us Part 2. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah, shoot.
I voted for. I voted for Doom Eternal.
Okay, nice, nice. Yeah,
Just because, you know, Doom Eternal, you told me that you enjoyed Doom Eternal. Like, I haven't played it yet. I know I still have it on my Game Pass thing, but for sure it's Doom, you know. I've heard so many great reviews about it. I think it got a higher score than its predecessor. So, has a better, review than the first game. So, yeah, I have to go with Doom Eternal. Just because, you know, I've seen the gameplay. It's just so chaotic. Just battling all those demons at the same time. So, that's my game of the year.
All right, nice. Yeah, for me, I would want to say Ghost of Tsushima just because I had the most fun with it. I thought it was cool, but it felt like it dragged on. Like, just doing too much, getting the platinum for it and everything. Every single time when I played Hades, I'm picking Hades. Forget my game of the year out of everything else. Like, man, I just had such a good time playing Hades. Going through it, talking to the other Greek gods, going from Zeus all the way down to Hades. I'm zoning out right now. But yeah, it was just a fantastic time. Every single time I played that game, I would play for 2 hours a night right before I went to bed. Then maybe 30 minutes when I wake up. It was something that I was just glad to be doing. grinding through the story, trying to get to that next level higher, beating those bosses. Yeah, Hades was such a fantastic game. I love the story, the combat, the art style, the voice acting. It was just too good. Do I believe it's going to win? I feel like Hades is going to be the underdog that might take it.
Mm-hmm.
The only underdogs I see is Hades and Doom Eternal. I don't believe Animal Crossing will win. I'm going to knock that off right now. Final Fantasy VII Remake, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the main head out of everything is The Last of Us Part II is either going to be a definite win just from overall critics review because they loved it and everything. But you could definitely tell that it's not, I wouldn't say double-sided, like critics loved it, but fans hated it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's two sides to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's where it's going to base it off of. But like critics do get a higher percentage in votes. So I feel like they're going to vote for The Last of Us Part II. In my opinion, like I said, I didn't really enjoy it, but because I thought gameplay was boring. The story was not a fan of. Like, the gameplay it's fine. It's not bad. To me, it's just really, like, slow. If you want to play like that, I know you can rush it and do other things, but to me, like the way I played it was just in a slow, smooth, taking out zombies one by one, making sure I reserve my bullets and everything. And that's fine. But to do that for like what, a 20, 30 hour story? I'm not sure. I don't know how many hours I'm in, but I know I'm halfway through. But in my opinion, I either think it's going to win because of critics or it might not, you know?
Or because of the fan base, too. Because I've heard a lot of people, like, a lot of fans of The Last of Us Part II saying, like, oh, I'm going to vote for it regardless of what people have to say, you know, and stuff like that. The Last of Us Part II has a huge fan base. Well, The Last of Us in general, you know. But also Doom Eternal. Like, I feel like Doom Eternal might win just because, like, they did so well with sales this year. Mm-hmm. I think they sold a lot more than the first game. So I feel like with, you know, when people knowing more about Doom, and the world of Doom, or just Doom Eternal in general, I feel like they'll cast their vote for Doom Eternal, because a lot of people don't have a lot of I wouldn't say a lot of people, but there's people that don't have PlayStations to play Ghost of Tsushima or The Last of Us Part II, but they have an Xbox or PC to play Doom Eternal. You know what I mean?
We know Sony has outsold the Xbox, so we assume there's got to be more Sony contributors here, you know what I mean?
But also PC in general too, you know? Because on PC, you can't really play The Last of Us Part II or Ghost of Tsushima. So there's a good chance that PC players will either vote for Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy, or Hades, any of those three games. Animal Crossing is obviously for Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, well, Final Fantasy is a Sony exclusive also.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. For sure.
So it's mainly just Doom Eternal. Doom Eternal and Hades. Hades is on PC.
All right. I'm also like, my bet is Doom Eternal. I feel like Doom Eternal is going to win this category.
All right. As much as I don't want it to, I think it's going to be Last of Us Part II. But I mean, hey, what am I going to do? I'm just one lonesome vote. underdog, Hades, in my opinion, I really want it to win. Like underdog, like where I think this stuff is rigged, Animal Crossing if it wins. It'll blow my, like, I think Animal Crossing is a fantastic game, but I do not think it's game of the year material. You know, but I mean, hey, maybe I'm just not like that, but like, it'll shock me if Animal Crossing wins. It'll blow my mind. But
yeah,
like, I feel like if anything, if we were to take one game off, it would either be Hades and Animal Crossing and put Star Wars Fallen Order in there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, like, whatevers. But yeah, that's pretty much all the nominations in there. We excluded the esports categories just because it doesn't catch our interest. Sorry about that if you're into that. But yeah, that's the Game of the Year nominees, the Game Awards. If you want to check it out, if you want to vote, gameawards.com, you could do all that stuff. But nonetheless, that's pretty much our main topic, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, dude, it was awesome. This is pretty much the segment where we talk about, not talk about, but you can send us questions, local questions, segment time. If you want to send us questions, you could ask us in our Discord, which you can find a link to it in below of wherever you're listening to this to. So our only question, not even a question, but the homie Jason says, low key, I don't even play it, but Animal Crossing. He says, I usually send out like a message saying like, yo, we're getting about to record, send us your questions, send them in. Tonight's main topic is the Game Awards. Who do you think is going to be Game of the Year is? Let us know. And so I pretty much asked a question. He told us Animal Crossing. And Jason, if you're listening to this, you're on crack, man. No, just kidding. But yeah, we talked about it, but nonetheless, yeah, dude. Yeah, man, I think that's gonna wrap it up for the episode, buddy.
For sure, I'm ready.
All right, go for it. End us off.
And that was the episode 47 of the Local Podcast. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Store, and that one app you know about that we don't. Also, join the Discord. You can find direct links in the description of wherever you're listening. Thanks for everything, and we'll see you next time, next week. How'd I do?
Yeah, you sounded great, dude. And I forgot to put that in the podcast notes, but this week's Thanksgiving. Have a good Thanksgiving. Mike, for a local question, what are you thankful for, buddy? And you better not say me. I'll cry.
I'm thankful for you, dude. I'm thankful for, you know, just breathing, you know, having, you know, my family here, having, you know, both my parents, you know, brother and sister are okay, you know. Thankful for my friends doing okay, too, you know. I hope you're doing well, dude. I'm thankful for everyone who are like listening right now. You know, we'll like support our podcast, you know, and stuff like that. Thankful for like just everyone in my life. You know, I feel like a lot of, despite, you know, with the pandemic going on, I feel like this year's been pretty good to me personally. Maybe not, you know, in terms of events, you know, outside of the world, you know, maybe not. But for sure, like personally to me, like I feel like this year's been treating me really well. And that's what I'm thankful for, you know. And yeah, I just hope everyone has a, you know, a great Thanksgiving, you know. But what are you thankful for, Carlos?
Shit, I don't know. I don't really know. Now I'm thankful for everyone, family, friends, and thankful for still being here, I guess. I'm not really sure. What am I like super, super thankful for? I'm really blessed that with everything that I have, not like material things, just like everything I have in life or whatever's just being able to do this podcast every week with you, hopefully soon bring back Phoenix in too. And, yeah, I'm just thankful for everything. I try not to take anything for advantage. I make sure everyone's doing good. Try to put everyone first before myself, you know, make sure everyone's doing better than me at all times, you know? But overall, yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you, guys.
Peace. Thankful for you guys for listening. Yeah. Also, if that's not clear enough, you know what I mean? Yeah. Definitely wouldn't be here without some of the supporters out there. We know we have some, like, I'm not sure if we do, but that's what it says on Audio Boom, that we do have listeners from, like, Sweden, Indonesia, Russia. Cool. Like, it's not a lot of you guys, but we see you guys, wherever you guys out of the United States, you know? Especially to some of the homies that do listen. I do keep you guys in check. Thank you guys at all times, you know, for listening and writing in questions for the podcast, you know. Thank you guys, especially to like other Discord homies that I met through other podcasts. Thank you for you guys and everything. You guys pretty much inspired this podcast, and yeah, wouldn't be here without you guys.
Yeah, thank you guys.
And we'll see you guys next week, hopefully. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you guys.